Today is the 10th Sunday after Pentecost. And these are the announcements. There will be a blessing of articles after Mass today at the communion rail. Now, there are some great feasts this week. We don't need to mention all of them to you since you have the calendar and you can see them on the board in the back. But we will mention a couple of them. Tomorrow, August 18th, not on the universal calendar, is the feast of Saint Helen, Empress. Now, you remember Saint Helen? I just want to mention a thing or two about her to you. She was the, as far as we know, the first Catholic ruler in the world. And she was the ruler, in a manner of speaking, of the whole known world, Holy Roman Empire. And she was a saint. First Catholic ruler was a saint. Now, it's true that she ruled with her son. Her son had her declared empress, Constantine. And he was not a saint, even though he was a very prayerful man. God obviously spoke to him and revealed to him the cross before the great battle that he won, became ruler of the Holy Roman Empire. And his mother was Saint Helen. I just thought that you might be interested to know not only that she was a very holy woman, she was a convert, became a Catholic in her old age, and that she found the true cross. Beautiful story. And the true story of the finding of the true cross is related to us by saints who lived at that time. They tell the story of how they found the true cross, how she found it. Beautiful story. But also, she was from Great Britain. His first Catholic ruler. And her son was born there. I think she was born there too. So we have a tie with St. Helen. She was from Great Britain, as are many of us, and this country was, we can say, begun by Great Britain. Also on Wednesday, feast of great saint, Saint Bernard. We are not going to tell you his whole life story, but just a couple of things that are quite amazing about this saint. He had five brothers and a sister. He was, I believe, the third one in the third child in the family. Holy parents. And his mother picked him out especially and consecrated him to God. She did with all her children, but especially him, hoping that he would be a priest. And when he was 23 years old, after receiving a great education, he determined that it was time for him to go and give himself to God. But the interesting thing about this particular event is that he went and told all of his family and friends, relatives, acquaintances, fellow students, what he was going to do and why he was going to do it, why he needed to dedicate himself to God. and practically every one of them joined him. Even some married ones convinced their wives to join the convent, and when he entered the monastery, there were 30 men who were with him. Basically, all of his brothers, I say basically because his youngest brother was only a little boy, and when his St. Bernard's oldest brother went and said to their youngest brother, "We are all going to the monastery and going to dedicate ourselves to God." And so all of our estates, and they had a great deal of money and land. And he said, "Everything that we own is all going to come to you." And this little boy said, "So you get heaven and I get earth. Not quite fair." And so very soon, he joined them. A few years later. And even a few years later, the father joined them. So anyway, we just thought that you would like to hear that. The epistle for today's Mass is taken from the St. Paul's first epistle to the Corinthians. "Brethren, you know that when you were Gentiles, you went to dumb idols according as you were led. Wherefore, I give you to understand that no one speaking in the Spirit of God says anathema to Jesus. And no one can say Jesus is Lord except in the Holy Spirit. Now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of ministries, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of workings, but the same God who works all things in all. Now the manifestation of the Spirit is given to everyone for profit. To one, through the Spirit, is given the utterance of wisdom, and to another, the utterance of knowledge, according to the same Spirit, to another faith, in the same Spirit, to another the gift of healing in the one Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another the distinguishing of spirits, to another various kinds of tongues, to another interpretation of tongues. But all these things are the work of one and the same Spirit, who allots to everyone according as he will." Please stand for the Gospel. The Holy Gospel for today's Mass is taken from the account according to St. Luke, chapter 18, verses 9 to 14. "At that time, Jesus spoke this parable also to some who trusted in themselves as being just and despised others. Two men went up to the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and began to pray thus within himself, 'O God, I thank thee that I am not like the rest of men, robbers, dishonest, adulterers, or even like this publican. I fast twice a week. I pay tithes of all that I possess.' But the publican, standing afar off, would not so much as lift up his eyes to heaven, but kept striking his breast, saying, 'O God, be merciful to me, the sinner.' I tell you, this man went back to his home justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself shall be humbled, and he who humbles himself shall be exalted." Thus far the words of today's Holy Gospel. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. This is called the Sunday of Humility. And we see this, especially with the Gospel, but also with the Epistle, because St. Paul and the Holy Ghost are saying to these Corinthians that they have to remember where they came from. They enumerate all of these different gifts that are given to the church in the early days to help them realize that this is the church of God. But they remind them where they came from. How evil they were, how sad their lives were. It is good for all of us to put our past, our ugly past, behind us, insofar as it is a distraction to us now. That's a good idea. But it's good to remember the past insofar as it helps us to practice virtue. So, for instance, it's good to remember all of the humiliation that we have suffered, anything that has brought us down into the dirt. Good to remember that. Our foolishness, our stupidity, our mistakes, our sins, our weakness, our malice, all of these things. Good to remember those things. And so St. Paul tells these people how stupid they were and how degraded, that because they worshipped a rock, these idols, they worshipped rocks as if they were gods. And so he says to them, don't be so proud simply because you can recognize the one true God now. Clearly, this is a grace, since you could not do it before you were given this grace. And it is not because of our very sad human intelligence that we can recognize anything divine. If anyone is tempted to think that he is better than his neighbor, because at least we cooperated with the grace that God gave us. Maybe someone here is tempted to think that. At least I did that. But remember, brethren, this principle, that there is absolutely nothing in the universe that is good, that was not made good by God. Nothing. And there is nothing in the universe that is better than anything else. No person better than another person, that was not made better by God. And so even our cooperation with grace is given to us by God. He helps us to cooperate. This is how sad we are. We cannot do anything. He holds us in the palm of his hand. If he ceases to think of us for an instant, we disappear forever. And every single act, every single thought that we have, he gives us. Or at least he assists us. He consents. One thing we can do without him, and that's sin. To this He permits us to do it. He still holds us in existence while we do it. He can do this. It is impossible for God to make a being that is independent of him, that can do anything apart from him. We, on the natural order, need God for everything. He must help us, everything we do. On the supernatural order, it is another story altogether. You remember that, of course, when God created us in Adam and Eve, the very instant that he made this natural man and woman, these creatures, he made them gods. Remember that? Because he gave them a share in his life. And so we never were natural creatures, except at the instant we were created. Immediately he made us sharers in his life. And so we were always supernatural beings, like God. And on this order, this other level of creation, in which God made us like himself, not only can we not act without him, but he acts through us. This is how basic it is. It's our dependence on him. So when we make an act of faith, it is God making the act through us, because we use his knowledge. And to show you how true this is, if we commit one sin against the virtue of faith, we lose everything. We lose our entire faith. You might think you still have the faith. You must know people like this. You must think, if you've committed a sin against faith, that you still have the faith because you still believe other parts, other truths. This is not true. You only consent to those things because you think they are reasonable. In fact, you can no longer believe anything with the gift of faith. Especially true of the virtue of charity, in which every time we make an act of love of neighbor or God for God's sake, it is God through us loving that person. We are his instruments. It's very much like the Trinity. God loves the Father. God the Son loves the Father through the Holy Ghost. And so everything we do on the supernatural level is God acting through us. This is how much we depend on him. All of our very thoughts on the supernatural level are God's thoughts. If we are so proud that we think that anything comes from us, then we are great, great fools. But the good news is this, that it is possible for us as fools to begin to become wise. And it's very simple. Must do one, perform one act, and that is to realize that we are fools. And suddenly we start to become wise. To realize that we are ignorant and that we know nothing, and that we are nothing and we are less than nothing because of our sins. We are actually offensive to God because of our lives. This past week, we, most of you, I'm sure, heard of the suicide of this great Hollywood star, Robin Williams. He spent practically all of his life making impure and immodest jokes and ridiculing us, especially Catholics, but anyone who believed in God. He would grind them into the ground. Why is it that people like this deny the existence of God, given that it is such an ignorant thing to do? Clearly, this is one of the most ignorant acts anyone could ever perform, to say that God does not exist. God created everything perfect. You know that. He had to. But some things he made more perfect than others. Right? And one of the most perfect things he made was our conscience. Because our conscience works exactly as it should, no matter who we are or what we are, no matter how brilliant a genius we might be, or if we are the most ignorant man on earth, our conscience still works. No matter how rich we are, no matter how poor. In our sleep it works. Our conscience bothers us in our sleep. And so, what do we do if we don't go to confession and do penance for our sins? We have to silence this loud noise in our ears. So some people commit suicide, like putting out a fire with gasoline. Some people deny his existence, similar notion. Many people become alcoholics so that they cannot hear any longer this conscience that's always there. Some people use drugs. And many people, to try to salve their conscience in some crazy way, try to bring as many possible people with them to hell. But of course it never works. They say, think outside the box, think independently. They think we are all slaves of dogma. But what they like to forget is that all of the things that they are thinking, someone has already taught them to think. The world teaches these people what to think instead of us. They have this sense that they who were once the objects of God's infinite love now are worthy of his infinite hatred, infinite punishment. And in order to be forgiven, they know very well that they must humble themselves. This word is not in their universe. and must crawl back to him. They must admit their mistake, their stupidity, that they are evil, and their pride absolutely will not permit this. Pride will not allow them to do anything like this. Because you remember that sin is a punishment for sin. God permits us to commit more and more sins as punishment. And pride is the same thing. He allows us to be more and more proud when we are guilty of this sin. And so there is no way out for us. Remember, brethren, the words of Christ. Unless you become as little children, you shall not enter the kingdom of heaven. Even though we are judged by love in the end, the greatest of all the virtues, as you well know, the most important, the most essential of the virtues is the virtue of humility, because it draws down God's love. It's the beginning of love. Unless you become as little children, you shall not enter the kingdom of heaven. May God bless you.